Well, it is the fourth Monday of the month, and as we always do, just honored that Dr. Jonathan Sanford, the president of the University of Dallas, is here, and he always brings in a wonderful guest, or every now and then we're on the phone, but he's live and in person in studio and has a great guest with him. And so I know before we get to your guest, Dr. Sanford, you wanted to talk about something, some exciting news from the University of Dallas, right?
That's right. Yeah, so we have airing this week on EWTN, the Global Catholic television station, a program called The Quest. It aired in the fall, and so many people loved it that EWTN said, do you mind if we air that again? So it's late this time around, I think 10 o'clock at night, Central Time, but we're airing at noon through our social media channels, an episode each day of a five-part miniseries. It's focused on how to live a life of real meaning and purpose in light of God's plan for our life. And after each of those episodes during the noon hour, we are featuring one of our faculty contributors to the program called The Quest. And this corresponds with our core challenge week where we're raising funds for scholarships for our students.
Okay, so 10 p.m. on EWTN, 10 p.m. Central, and that begins tonight? Or
it began last night, actually. Oh, okay. But you can catch up by our social media channels as well. So once they've aired, you can have access to it and you can get caught up.
Yeah, yeah. I remember in the fall, because we promoted it very heavily on the radio, and it was so neat to see the teamwork between EWTN and the University of Dallas, and for the great university to be featured on the global network.
Yes.
All right. Well, very good. It's called The Quest, and you can get it on the social media sites and also 10 p.m. on EWTN and watch it on EWTN television.
That's right.
All right. And
well,
we got a great guest in the studio.
We do indeed, and it's my great pleasure to introduce Luis Gonzalez, who is just very recently the CEO of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul for North Texas. And Luis is one of our outstanding alumni. And this is an opportunity for me to talk to an alumnus who's doing remarkable things in his work. So thank you for joining the show, Luis.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, Jonathan. Thank you.
Well, you know, you've got a background that has stretched several decades and have done extensive work. I know you were with Allstate for many years, and after that you were involved in a couple of other companies, and something moved in you to take on the leadership role of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. What was that?
You know, it really was the Holy Spirit just moving. It was probably about a year ago, it was back in June, that I just started to feel very unsettled about returning back to work. You know, it was after all the COVID, and the call was to return back into the office. And while it had nothing to do with actually going back into the office, it had everything to do with, is this really where the Lord is calling me? Mm-hmm. Is this really what He wants me to be doing? And I spoke with my spiritual director about it. You know, typically when we have our sessions, you know, I'll always talk about the family and everything. But first words out of my mouth were, you know, Father, I'm very unsettled. Mm-hmm. So he was like, okay, that's a different start. Let's get into that. Why is that? And so we started talking, and he made it. He prompted me. He told me. He said, you know, maybe the Lord is calling you. Then you mm-hmm. need to put that to prayer. And so I did, and you know, he can work miracles very, very quickly. 2 weeks later, I received a cold call from a recruiter for nonprofits, and mm-hmm. one thing led to another. And with each iteration of the interviews and the discussion and learning about what the Society of St. Vincent de Paul does, mm-hmm. It became very evident that God was calling me to something more meaningful.
Well, I want to talk about the Society of St. Vincent de Paul for a little while, and it was sure. wonderful to have a conversation with you ahead of this interview, and it was a conversation that revealed to me my ignorance about the extension of the work, or the extensiveness, I should say, of the work of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Most of my experience of the Society has been the thrift store on the one yeah. hand, and nearly ubiquitous in every city. But also I know that the Society finds ways to reach out to neighbors who are in extreme yes. need. But could you take us through what the Society does here in North Texas and the full array of its involvement?
Definitely. Thank you. One of the things that was so beautiful for me as I was discovering about the Society, going through the whole process of making the transition, was just learning that first and foremost, the Society is here to help grow in holiness. Mm-hmm. So Vincentians are called to deepen their spirituality, to deepen their understanding of what it means to be Catholic. And so in growing in holiness, we then go out and do the works that Christ has called us to do. We're here to serve the poor, to serve our neighbors. And so we walk with them on their journey. When somebody comes to us in, with needs, we do what's called home visits, and we'll go out, we'll visit with the neighbor and come to understand what their needs are. What is it that has them in the current situation that they're in? And oftentimes in doing that, we start to learn about other things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And so we can extend other services to them and other assistance to them. And it really is just, it's a beautiful way for our faith life to manifest itself in true works of charity. Mm-hmm. And here in North Texas, we have over 750 Vincentians, mm-hmm. Based out of 35 to 40 different conferences. Most of them are parish-based. Mm-hmm. As we were discussing out in the lobby, we happen to have a conference at the University of Dallas. I'm anxious to try and get one started at SMU as well. But we've got an opportunity here to really just continue to help our organization and our volunteers, our Vincentians grow. Mm-hmm. And then the services that we provide really are everything from local food pantries, emergency assistance for rent, mm-hmm. utilities. We have a fabulous charitable pharmacy, the first of its kind, a freestanding charitable pharmacy in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. We currently are giving out free medications to people with chronic illnesses, everything from high blood pressure, high cholesterol, asthma, behavioral health issues as well. And so all of these are just the different types of ways that we go about trying to extend ourselves to help our neighbors in whatever their needs might be.
I want to make sure we all understand the terminology. Vincentian is a volunteer who's a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul.
That's correct.
Typically a layperson.
Correct.
And a conference is a local chapter, a group that's got a parish typically, but in our case, the University of Dallas.
Very good. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
And a neighbor is somebody who's in need.
Yes.
Okay. So, one of the things that stands out to me about the way that you talk about the work of the Vincentians is that it's so focused on the individual. And I'm reminded of something that St. John Paul II reminds us of many times, that love is not universal, right? It's always got to be directed to the individual in concert with God's plan for them. And that's maybe where we could talk a little bit more about this call to sanctification or holiness. That's, mm-hmm. that's part of the work. But, what kind of relationships develop from the work that Vincentians do with neighbors? And what's the goal for the neighbors beyond the material, needs being met?
Really, the goal for the neighbor is for them to get back to a place of self-sufficiency. And then, of course, in an ideal state, that returning to self-sufficiency enables them to perhaps then come to serve others as well, to help those who might be in similar situations. But for us, what we try to do is focus again on creating that level of trust, that giving them a place and a person that they can relate to. To your point, it really is very much a personal relationship. It's helping them to know and encounter Christ. And the irony is that, you know, we go thinking that we're going there to serve, mm-hmm. that we walk into this and we think, okay, we need to be like Christ for them. But what happens is we end up discovering Christ in them. Mm-hmm. And so many times I hear Vincentians talk about the fact that they go in and they walk away and they're like, all right, who was it that just got served? Mm-hmm. Because I've walked away with this greater degree and understanding of who he is. Who I thought Christ was, I now see in somebody completely different. Mm-hmm. And it really just helps to make our faith so real and so true.
Mm. That is powerful. One of the things that I think moderns in general get caught up on when they're thinking about charity work, on the one hand is a sort of the distance from the individual. We already mentioned that. But we can fall into thinking that there's an opposition, and I'll use the terminology that often comes up in moral philosophy. So with apologies to our listeners who are wondering why I'm getting a little technical, but altruism being opposed to egoism, altruism being supposedly a kind of giving of oneself without any expectation of reward. And egoism is just seeking the good for myself. And I would describe those terms as really presenting a false dichotomy. I don't think that either the scriptures or the Catholic tradition tell us that what it is to love others is to not put ourselves into that in some fashion. And in fact, we're encouraged to think about our eternal reward, but that's not the best motivation for loving another. It's real genuine concern for the other, but a concern for the other that's predicated upon friendship. And friendship is mutually beneficial. And so all of our efforts to purify our intentions when it comes to our works of service or charity work, if we think that we're not supposed to feel benefited, as you just described, from our interactions with neighbors, that's really a losing motivation, right? Because you just won't get there, and you shouldn't get there. It's not the point. You want friendship with the other.
I totally agree. And when you walk away from that, when you allow yourself to be humbled enough to be able to recognize that we too are in need of salvation, we too are in need of that encounter with Christ on a regular basis, we can walk away from that visit with the neighbor or the assistance that we provided and recognize, Lord, you worked through me. And thank you. I'm not worthy of that. And I thought that I was, but you just reminded me that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And there's such a grace that comes from that. There's such a recognition that he is so much greater than all of us. And he loves each and every one of us at a very personal level. You know, it reminds me, I was fortunate enough to be at our pharmacy a few weeks ago. And talking with the staff there and the team, and one of our neighbors walked in to pick up some medication. We could very easily just ship that out to them. We typically do about 85% of our medications are shipped out overnight to our neighbors in need. But this particular neighbor came in, and he's been coming in regularly just so he could see the staff. Sometimes he'll bring, you know, cookies and something that he and his family have baked. But it's a personal relationship that's been established. And I asked the staff about that, and they said, we just love to see him come in. He loves to see us, especially now that, you know, it's easier to be able to come in. He'll do that on a regular basis. And it underscored for me the need for that personal relationship that we're fortunate to be able to establish.
Yeah. One more question on this topic, and then I want to talk about your approach to leadership. You began by describing the Vincentian emphasis on personal holiness, and that's a tremendous benefit. You're not using those neighbors that you're working with in pursuit of holiness, but this expression of neighborly care is one that is born as the fruit of this pursuit of holiness. What does holiness mean within the context of the society's approach? What does it look like?
I think what holiness would look like for any member of the society would be allowing oneself to discover how God wants to use them, and then willingly submitting to that, willingly submitting to the opportunity to serve in whatever that capacity might be, and then proactively seeking out those opportunities, looking for them. It's very easy to go through the hustle and bustle of our day and not pause to recognize, okay, was that Christ there? Was that an opportunity for me to do something for somebody? And when we submit ourselves in that way, and when we look at those at every opportunity, at every day, at every interaction as that opportunity to connect somebody, it really does become very transformative. And it can be something as simple as a smile. How often do we pull up to a stoplight and there's a homeless person there, a panhandler, somebody who's seeking assistance, and we turn away. No one wants to look at them. But if you just look them in the eye and smile, you'll get a smile back. And how often do we then also get a God bless you from them? mm-hmm. they bless us. Mm-hmm. You know, where we think that we are so much better sometimes, but they're there and they're the ones who bless us. Those are the types of opportunity I think that that's that call to holiness.
Yeah, thank you for that. So you did not do your undergraduate at the University of Dallas, but you received an MBA from us, and this was back in the 90s.
Yes.
And the focus there in the MBA is on leadership, and I'm curious what sort of lessons you took from that period of instruction while you were also working full time, as so many of our graduate students do. How did that change your approach to leadership?
Some of the biggest things I learned from that MBA program that I was fortunate enough to go through was the need for collaboration, particularly across, you know, maybe individuals that you typically wouldn't interact with. I love the way the classes were oftentimes structured so that you had your folks that you would sit with on a regular basis, but then you would have projects that you would force you to interact with other departments. And the way I went through the MBA program, it was with a single corporate sponsor, Allstate Insurance at the time. And so we were all people that worked together, but typically it was from different departments. So the MBA program helped us to start to figure out how to take down the walls that typically stood between departments. And that really stuck with me. That was mm-hmm. something that I realized that there was a need for collaboration beyond just the initial folks that you typically work with on a regular basis. That and then just learning to become more strategic in mm-hmm. nature. You can be very focused on the to-dos of what is needed today, but needed to recognize that there is a more strategic view that's oftentimes needed to help guide you in the day-to-day activities that you are doing. And both of those were pretty substantial components of what I learned and how I was formed during that MBA program.
What do you consider the most important marks of a good leader within a corporate structure?
I would say first and foremost would be empathy. Mm-hmm. I think it's a word that we don't talk about too often, mm-hmm. but you need to be very empathetic as a leader, listening to your team. Leadership is a privilege. Again, I think for those who get into leadership with the thought of, okay, that's the name that I want on the plaque, you know, that's the title that I want to have, you're kind of missing the point when it comes to leadership. Mm-hmm. Leadership, we're supposed to serve others. We're supposed to be there to help guide and support and really help transform others. For me, the greatest satisfaction is being able to work with somebody and help them see the potential in themselves beyond what they had anticipated, mm-hmm. and being able to see them just take off and go and achieve these levels of excellence that they didn't see for themselves. Mm-hmm. They just needed a little bit of a nudge. And so for me, it really is, it sounds cliche-ish, but I think it's true. Servant leadership. Mm-hmm. We really are here to serve others. And when we get, it kind of goes back to the whole conversation about holiness, right? Mm-hmm. You can bring holiness to the workplace. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily always have to be out in front, and kind of in your face type of thing. Mm-hmm. It really can just be in the manner by which you lead mm-hmm. and try to serve others and show them that in what you do.
Yeah, and adding to that, like doing your work really excellently. You know,
yes.
I think sometimes Christians can fall into a false way of thinking about humility, that to be humble sometimes might seem as though you shouldn't endeavor to be really outstanding in your work and to do it for the greater glory of God, right, to be really excellent. But I know that that's not your mentality, and I want to see what you think about how really being at the top of your game and following through and being successful integrates fully with what it is to be a holy Catholic man or woman.
I absolutely agree. We have a moral obligation to do our best, right? Mm-hmm. To be the very best that we can be, and I would, you know, not that I would know this personally, but I would have to think that Jesus was probably a pretty good carpenter.
Yeah,
probably
right.
One of the best in the business. and so I think that's a good model for us to look at to say, you know, that's what we should strive to be like. We should strive for that level of excellence. And in doing that, we can honor God the Father back as well.
That's right. Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for that. Just to add that a little bit, I mean, when you said we have an obligation, a moral obligation to be really excellent, I think that's what humility acknowledges, right? Mm-hmm. Because humility, if it's genuine humility, says every gift I have is a gift from God the Father ultimately.
Amen.
And you give him glory by using those gifts excellently.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
How can our listeners learn more about this Society of St. Vincent de Paul?
They can go to our website, www.svdpdallas.org. That's SVDP, like St. Vincent de Paul, .org. And there's plenty of information there about all of the systemic change programs that we have. And certainly there's also ways that they can learn to be able to volunteer, certainly to donate if they're so moved to do so. But there is a ton of information that's out there. And that's also where our listeners, if they're in need of assistance, they can also go there as well to get assistance, or they can call our helpline at 469-607-0909.
Excellent. Well, thank you for moving in this direction, being moved in this direction. Thank you for dedicating your professional life and your personal life to this just absolutely important and vital work through the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Thanks for making your alma mater, the University of Dallas, so very proud.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. God bless you.
Before I turn it back over to Dave, I just want to remind our listeners one more time of the opportunity to receive intellectual and spiritual formation for free through watching EWTN The Quest series or going on to our social media channels and being nourished with what's being provided there. There's no cost. We just want people to receive from the bounty that we have at the University of Dallas.
And that is 10 o'clock on EWTN, 10 Central. And then you said on the social media sites, it's noon that it'll be shown.
And you can become a VIP member, which just means tracking things and getting some special access behind the scenes and that sort of thing. And also access to literature and study questions if you want to go deeper.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Jonathan Sanford, president of the University of Dallas, with this University of Dallas segment. Congratulations on your new position. And I just wanted to repeat the website and also the helpline information. If you are interested in St. Vincent de Paul of Dallas and you want to learn more about what they do or just get in touch with Luis, you can do so at svdp.org, the helpline 469-607-0909. Did I get all that right?
It's svdpdallas.org.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, I apologize.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, svdpdallas.org. You got to get that Dallas in there, right?
Exactly.